Cecilia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Cecilia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Cecilia. It's great to be here. Thank you for joining us here for the second hour of the program. We sure do appreciate it. I know there's some comments, a lot of people commenting on the comments that I made earlier about the church and about the pastor in Virginia. And Brad commented that thought the pastor was right on. I think he was too. There's no doubt. When he was praying for the president, that is. But I would hope that all prayers that come from anybody are said with conviction. And are true to the word of God. And we pray always that God's will would be done. Not ours, but his. I would hope that pastors aren't looking for, praise. We're all in, when you're in somewhat of a media kind of thing, you can easily get caught up in that. I get more caught up in the criticism than the praise. The praise I leave at Calvary. I give to Calvary. I leave it at Calvary because that's where it belongs. But the criticism gives me an opportunity to praise what happened at Calvary and the strength that we derive from that. And I hope that any pastor that would pray for the president, for the country, for a person that is sick in their congregation would pray with conviction. And hopefully that pastor was as well. Well, all the markets were scheduled to open in positive territory. Indeed, they did. But the S&P is down slightly. The Dow is up slightly. And the Nasdaq's about flat right now as we look at where the markets sit. So we'll wait and see how things end up and shape up for the end of the day. It would be nice not to give back too much of the little bit of gain that we got yesterday. And hopefully that's going to be a possibility. We're going to be able to do that. At least I hope that will be the case. So we'll see. But hopefully that's what's going to happen. And I don't know what I'm talking about. Obviously, I must have looked at a wrong site, which I didn't. I just switched because I said, that doesn't seem right. And I go to the right site in real time and see that the Dow is up 240 points. So forget that last piece. Anyway, up 1%. That is a significant move when we're up 1%. Small caps up 1.1%. Then NASDAQ now, I think this is enough to take it out of correction territory, but we'll see how long it lasts. But nonetheless, we're watching that. We're seeing that. The S&P is up 0.75%. So things are positive right now. So many people panic. So many people concerned. So many people worried. Not if you're a partner of this ministry. I pray that you are not. I pray that you are paying attention. I pray that you are listening. I pray that you are sitting tight. I went on an explanation with Sharon from Wisconsin talking about income and how important it is. And she was talking about describing her, I think she said father-in-law, what he was concerned about with this portfolio that was mostly 3M stock, since apparently he worked for them all of his life. He probably had a substantial amount of 3M stock. And put that in perspective to her. I don't have to do that to all of you that you're partners. You got that in perspective. And hopefully you are resting peacefully, even in the midst of all this turmoil. So hopefully you're going to be able to do that. I do have some comments that I want to get to from Facebook and from our website. And by the way, FISM.TV, you see that on Amazon TV, on Apple TV or on Roku. You can watch that. You can just Google FISM.TV. You can watch 24/7 programming on there. Obviously, we repeat some of the programming at different times. There will be a day in the not-too-distant future where we won't. We are working currently on 4 original programs, 2 talk programs coming out of our studio. One is going to be a program called Outspoken, and we're very excited about that. One is going to be called Talking Points, and it's going to be Talking Points with Kathy Barnett. You'll recognize Kathy from being on Fox, all the Fox programs on a regular basis. And we've got another program, not going to be in the studio, but original programming for us that we're working on with Twyla Brace to keep you informed as well. You know Twyla Brace, and we're looking forward to that program as well. We've got a program that we are getting ready to shoot a pilot on and see how that goes, called XM Radio. It's a great, great program, so we're excited about that. So we've got a lot of good things going, FISM.TV. I hope you'll tune into that for nothing but the truth kind of programming. All right, here's Craig Haugart, our ag report. Very, very important, becoming more important yesterday. Somebody saying they can't get their cotton crop to come up. It comes up, and the heat is killing it. So we got heat there. We got floods. Very, very important.
This is Craig Haugart with your financial issues ag update. Well, corn prices were mixed yesterday with uncertainty about corn planting progress. Gains were limited from fears of a possible trade war with Mexico over last week's tariff plan. The general consensus was that the Western Corn Belt had made some progress late last week in getting corn in the ground, while many areas in the Eastern Corn Belt struggle with more rain events or fields that are still too wet to get much planting done. After the close yesterday, the planting progress report showed that 67% of the corn crop has now been planted. The average trade guess was that we would see a number of 71% planted, and the 5-year average is 96% planted by this date. So the report emboldened the bulls in the overnight, and as a result, we have this spot corn futures trading 6 cents higher as I record this. Soybean prices were supported by technical buying despite the threats of tariffs on Mexican imports. Unfavorable weather conditions the past few weeks have slowed row crop planting, with much uncertainty remaining about how many corn acres are actually going to get switched from corn to beans and how soon the farmers can get into the field to plant soybeans, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt. The planting progress report was below trade expectations, showing only 39% of the soybean crop planted so far, and that's well off of the 5-year average of 79% planted by this date. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading a dime higher. Wheat prices soared to higher levels yesterday on both water and heat. The Southern Plains area got hit with rain over the weekend, while Canada and northwestern North Dakota registered some decent heat units. The Black Sea region and Australia have been dry and are expected to stay that way for the next week. Here in the U.S., crop conditions are actually pretty good, with 64% of the winter wheat crop rated as good to excellent, while 83% of the spring wheat crop falls into that category. Spring wheat planting is 93% completed, only lagging the 5-year average by 3%. In the overnight trade, Chicago is trading a nickel lower, while Kansas City is down 8 cents, and Minneapolis is trading 4 cents lower. Cotton had a fairly large trading range yesterday before finishing near the highs at the close. For the session, July futures were up 134 points to close at 69.42. After the close, the planting progress report placed that crop at 71% planted, which is only 1% behind the 5-year average. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading an additional 7 points higher. Livestock futures continued to struggle, with August live cattle down 27.5 cents for the session, while August feeder cattle were 37.5 cents higher for the day. Lean hogs continued their downward descent as August futures finished $2.10 lower for the day. Class 3 milk futures had a losing session as well, with the July futures 12 points lower as they settled at 16.51. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading unchanged. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down a penny to settle at $2.23.20, while selects were 82 cents lower, settling at $2.06.87. In hogs, the pork carcass values increased by $2.23 to finish the session at $84.91. This has been Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
United States says this, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that, 844-707-5533. By the way, all the indices in positive territory, gaining a little bit more strength as the day goes on. The Dow is up 1.25%, and the NASDAQ is up 1.07%. So out of correction territory, at least for the moment in the session, and we'll see if we can still continue to ride. A lot of this has to do with Mexico. And I talked about that earlier in the first segment of the first hour. I was talking about Mexico, and the president of Mexico has indicated that they are going to ramp up their efforts to try to stop the migration on their southern border. And they are going to really start picking all of that up. They don't want to have any kind of trade issues. On Monday, we are supposed to be putting into place a 5% tariff on the things coming out of Mexico. We don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Frankly, it's more important than China, to be honest with you. It really is, and I mean that. It's far more significant to us and our economy than is China. So we don't want that to happen either. There is a delegation from Mexico coming up Wednesday. To have some talks tomorrow. They will be talking about that. Hopefully they will walk away feeling pretty good with a plan in place, working and moving along. So hopefully we'll see that happen. But I got to believe that's one of the reasons why, well, along with Angela Merkel calling out, France, and saying that, look, with or without France, we need to be having a productive conversation with the U.S. on trade. And we need to continue to do that. She said that it's unfortunate that France does not want to participate in that. And I find that amazing after all that's gone on with protests in France, because Macron obviously doesn't care a lick about its citizens. He's a globalist. He cares about Europe far more than the people of France that put him in office. The people of France got tired of it, protesting, and now he doesn't want to do something that would be very good for France. He doesn't want to do it. So I think France needs to sit out on their own little island then and not negotiate with us as Germany continues to try to negotiate a deal with the U.S. And we are ready and willing. We're not asking for anything. We want Germany to care about its people. We want them to allow America to care about their people. We want just a fair trade deal. The best solution for the Eurozone, as far as I'm concerned, is everything's free. No trade. Free trade, both ways. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mark. Mark's calling us from Virginia.
Hello. Hey, Mark. Yeah, Dan, I just wanted to say thank you for your ministry, but also thank you for having the gumption to stand up to the liberal pastorate. We want to talk about the Bible. We want to teach the Bible, but we don't want to teach the application of the Bible and to be the salt as well as the light. And I just want to thank you very much because I'm a member of that church and I'm looking somewhere else. And I had already come to that prior to this action. This was just the icing on the cake. Because when you have a governor in Virginia that wants to take a baby and lay it out on the table and let it die, and pastors say nothing about it, you got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be. I mean, you can't stay there. You can't.
Right. Well, man. There's a great, people should listen to John MacArthur's talk about social justice, and that it has no place. It has no place biblically. But thank you, Dan. I appreciate all you do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mark. Hey, thank you, Mark. Thank you for encouraging me and weighing in. I sure do appreciate it, and that's a blessing. And I'm glad that you voiced your opinion here to so many others there in Virginia. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. Great stuff. And I'm just grateful. You know, God's given us this megaphone. Every state in the country on 650 radio outlets across this country, and you know, we want to use it for the glory of God, and you know, we have got to do that. And even, you know, I know Mark mentioned social justice and preaching against, you know, it's okay to talk about preaching against that. We should. But are we preaching against it? Are we teaching? Are we influencing the community that we're preaching in? I you know, so remember, and I love what Mark said. He said something that I didn't say. He put it better than I said it. He said, it's one thing to be teaching it. We love to teach it, but we've got to teach the application of it. We got to get across the application of it. And look, I said this. I mentioned on the first hour, friends of mine that I was talking to on the phone, both of them were on the phone, and we were talking as I was driving from Memphis last night late to Tupelo. And we were talking, and you know, it's so important that we get this across to as many pastors, because one of the things that we were talking about last night that I emphasized in the first hour, that people want to be led. You know, I think of, I know if Adrian Rogers was alive today, his church would be filled. I know that there are churches that aren't afraid. I think of a church in San Antonio, Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. You've got pastors in that church, John Hagee and Matt Hagee. I mean, they're talking about hell. They're telling people. They're just saying, hey, you're going to go. Listen, they're talking about not just heaven, but they're talking about hell too. They're talking about what we need to do to be walking in God's light. And this notion that churches have of rubbing salt on salt is ludicrous. The healing that you get from salt in a wound doesn't happen if you rub it on your hand where the wound is not there. It doesn't help if you're salting the salt. It doesn't help if churches are building these enormous salt shakers so that they can sprinkle the salt on themselves. Let's hunker down and just keep ministering to each other. Oh, we've got a church, and we've got to minister to the body. We've got to minister to our church. So we're just going to rub salt on the women's ministry and the men's ministry and the children's ministry, and we're just going to salt all of that, and we're just going to keep that salt right here into this church. We're just going to keep it right here into this wonderful salt shaker that God has raised up for us that we have built. That's what's going on. We've got to be salt and light to the world. We don't have to go to places all around the world. How about we first start with salt and light in our community? How about first in our church body, then into our community? How about we encourage the light sitting in the pews to get out into the community to influence? How about pastors rise up to the respected person in the community that they deserve to be, that they were once and they can be again? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in believing in Scripture. that faith comes by hearing, and don't be afraid to deliver the hearing. Don't be afraid to grow your church from the pulpit, not all those other ministries, but from the pulpit. Don't be afraid to do it because it's biblical. You will grow the church as long as you're leading. I don't understand pastors that want to be shepherds while their sheep are getting eaten by wolves. I don't get that. It doesn't make sense. If you're going to shepherd the sheep, yes, you got to lead them in the way they need to go. But we have got to be influencing all the other goats. We got to be influencing them. We have got to be doing it. We've got to be doing it. And that's what we're not doing. All right, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get back on that, but Mark led me to it. So we'll blame him. All right, we're going to get to phones right now. Not right now, because we only have 2 minutes. But we're going to get to phones. I want to remind you, speaking of salt and light, I want to remind you about all the babies that we have saved. Somebody said to me, I think it was Mark from, no, not Mark. I think it was Brad talking about, or somebody talking about babies, that we can murder babies in Virginia. And, you know, we're not even talking about it at the from the pastor. Why would you not talk about a governor of your church, a governor of your state? Why would you not talk about it that's okay with comforting a baby while they watch the baby struggle and die after it's delivered? How is it? All I can say to all of the pastors in that state that did not talk about that, I'm going to say what Jesus said. Woe. Woe to the teacher. You're going to stand before the Lord someday. You may not think that, but you're going to stand before the Lord. And you would not talk about one of his precious ones that would be allowed to lie and struggle to live. You would not talk about one of God's precious ones. It is why God has me here and not at the pulpit. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, 844-707. I was talking about preborn, and that's what I wanted to get to. Would you go to preborn.org now? Click on the link on our website and go there. Let's save some babies. We'll be back. So I would like to hear, I heard from one person that went to the church. I'd like to hear from another church person about the pastor and what they thought about him and his message on Sunday as he, not his message, but his prayer for the president, Pastor Platt. He indicated that, according to one email I got, indicated that on his Facebook post, he appears his comments are not apologetic, but clarifying. His intent was not to support a political party, but to be obedient to the word of God and pray for leaders. Would he do it again? I wonder. I mean, maybe we'll never know. It doesn't matter. And I'm glad he did it. I commended the pastor for doing that and for praying. As a matter of fact, I even posted it on Facebook, on Twitter, his prayer and his comments. So I commend him for doing it. But I don't mind going on record as condemning those that would condemn that or would be silent. See, it's amazing to me how many people think that silence is okay. Silence is confirmation. Silence is a sign of weakness. Oh, I know as one, I thought I'd check my emails. I just said at the break to Ian, I said, I ought to check my emails. And then I opened them up, and I went, oh, brother. And there was tons of them. Some of them very good, I'm sure. I'm not going to read them all. But, you know, some people think, well, you know, you shouldn't be so critical. You shouldn't be so critical. I don't mean to be critical. You shouldn't be so harsh. I do mean to be harsh. I'm not going to lie. I do. You know, you sound judgmental. I do mean to be judgmental, by the way. So that's why I sound judgmental. Doesn't make me a judgmental person. It does make me judgmental on this particular topic. But I do sound that way because I mean to be that way, I guess. I mean, I'm not trying to hide it. And I understand that the ones that, it's usually the ones that wouldn't dare say anything that want to continue to soft pedal the Bible. And I think that's sad. But it is what it is, and that is not likely to change till the Lord comes home, comes back. Let me go to Sherry calling from Texas. Hey, Sherry.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for all you do again.
You're welcome.
I'm hoping I can explain this in a way that you understand. I've got two accounts. I've got two accounts. One is a traditional IRA that's just sitting there accumulating that I'm not putting into.
Okay.
I opened a Roth last year, a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And it only has about $6,500 in it.
Okay.
When you did the asset allocation changes back when, but for the 45
yes.
to 55, I don't have any of those newer Timothy funds that you put in that allocation plan.
Okay.
So I started purchasing those in my Roth IRA. Confusion comes when you say have 5% in those in the Timothy, do I do 5% of the total of both my accounts or just 5% of what my Roth balance is?
Both accounts.
Okay.
I want everybody to think of if you have money in an investment account, if you have money in a traditional IRA, if you have money in Roth IRAs, if all of your money that is investable, I'm not counting your savings, your emergency savings, don't count that. That's different because to me, that's not investable money. Because that's emergency savings. I don't want you to ever invest it. So since it's not available for your investment portfolio, I don't want you account of this cash. When I have a cash position, I am talking about a cash position that is in your investment account.
Okay.
And when I talk about your asset allocation model, I'm talking about all the money that you have, all accounts.
So in my portfolio tracker, I need to combine my Roth and my tradition into one account so that all my percentages come out correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Good deal. That's a great answer, because I was going 5% only of 6,500, and I've got all this other money in the other one, and I wanted it to be in all combined. So that was a yay answer.
Good, good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you so much, Dan.
All right, Sherry.
Have a wonderful
day. I will. Thank you for calling. Let me go to Stephanie. Stephanie calling us from Texas. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey there. How's it going?
I'm good. Thanks.
Okay, great. So just wanted to mention a couple of things for all the listeners out there. Those Christians that understand what Paul was writing to in the book of Ephesus, when he told the fathers not to provoke their children to anger, or to provoke their children, you know, there's many different translations, and I encourage everyone to look into that. One of the things that we see as a culture, a fundamental issue, the father being the spiritual leader of the household, when the father is absent or not present or is not taking the role of the spiritual leader, we see this trickle-down effect of, a ton of different problems taking place, right? I mean, it manifests in a lot of different ways, but it also creates some serious vulnerability for the dark side, if you will, to kind of breach the home. And this spiritual warfare that's taking place currently is so very real and very palpable. And this armor of God that you mentioned around the 8 o'clock hour is something that, you know, fathers in particular need to really, really put on every single morning and then every single night, and leading their children. In Ephesus, the babies were, when they were born, they were brought to the father or the leader of the home. And if the father picked up the baby and embraced the baby, then, you know, it was kept. Otherwise, it was sold into slavery or prostitution. And it reminds me very much, though, of what's taking place culturally now, where, you know, these babies are being murdered because the father has not taken on this role. So that's all I had to say this morning.
Well, you know what, Stephanie? You bring a wonderful, wonderful perspective. And I appreciate you weighing in on it, because it's so true. It's so important. And we, myself included, as my comments that I made earlier would attest to, you know, we it's not that we don't care about it. We leave it out of the conversation sometimes, those points that you just brought up, as I did. And it's so critically important, so critically important. And I appreciate your perspective and what you've brought up, because it's so, so important. Thank you for that. What a blessing.
Yeah. I've only been Christian. I'm 34. I've been Christian for 6 years. And I have seen a dramatic effect when my husband decided to follow the Lord, which was very recently. My entire household has changed. My marriage, his parenting, our relationships with other people. Everything has changed, and I encourage all the men listening to really grab those reins and take control, and the Holy Spirit will guide them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Stephanie. Great stuff.
God bless you.
Thank
you for all that you do as well.
And tell your husband, welcome to the family of the Lord, and I'm so grateful that he took that step. And I know how you feel, because my wife came to the Lord 5 years after I did. And so I know how you feel. It is a wonderful time, but I love to hear that perspective of how the family has changed with that leadership. So great stuff. Thank you so much.
Be blessed. Thank you.
Yeah. You too. Well, great stuff. And you know, that is, it's so, so true and so, so important that the men, all you men listening, man, it's your job. It's biblical. You know, you got to take charge. You've got to take charge of your spiritual growth of the family, the spiritual growth of the family. That's your job. So maybe your wife handles the checkbook. Maybe your wife handles some finances. Maybe your wife cuts the grass. But that's one area that you've got to take charge. God is calling you to take charge. So hopefully you'll do that. Let me go to Matt real quick. We're coming up on break, but let me go to Matt in Arkansas. Hey, Matt.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. So I put a tweet out this morning. So Omar, Representative Omar from Minnesota, said this: I'm outraged and heartbroken. How much longer will we ignore? She was talking about the shooting, which was such a tragedy. How much longer will we ignore the plans of our communities, the pain of our communities? We need to immediately confront the power of the NRA and end the epidemic. And I wrote to her, gently, as long as we have to endure the ignorance of a party that believes socialism will be the answer of everything, even the problems of those poor souls that are locked up inside themselves with mental illness, it will always be much easier to blame the NRA or the GOP. You know, when are we going to stop ignoring mental health? And, you know, some people started to retweet that, but how much longer? I mean, you're going to blame the NRA, while ignoring the mental health issues in this country and trying to do something about that. You know, did President Trump come out and just talk about the opioid crisis? Is that what he did? Did he run and say, well, you know, yeah, we got this opioid crisis, and we have beloved family members that are dying from this. We have China sending over here, you know, illegal opioids. We have smugglers coming across the border. Yeah, boy, it's a shame. Is that what he said? Or did he try to do something about it? He went about the business of doing something about it. We're already making enormous headway in that area. We've confiscated caught hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of opioids trying to get across the border, enough to kill everybody in the United States. Think about it. But everybody, as I said in this tweet, everybody wants to ignore the problems of those poor souls that are locked up inside themselves with mental illness. And I think that's the tragedy. That's the tragedy that we ignore that. It's unbelievable. But socialism's going to fix that. And if socialism, if they think socialism is going to fix it, it's only because they know in their heart of hearts that if we have socialism, they are going to have all the control. Politicians are going to have all the control. Socialism is about social control, is what it's about. It's going to be about government controlling everything. It's about enlarging the size and the power of government. That's what socialism is going to be about. It's a very fine line between the socialism that all the Democratic candidates are aligning themselves with, and Marxism, fascism, radical Marxism, communism. Real fine line. It's about power. It's about a social control. It's about grabbing as much as you can, and they're naive enough to believe they're going to win. I got a Gallup poll that was published last month. I sent it out to a lot of you on my newsletter. If you get my newsletter, you saw this a couple of weeks ago on my newsletter. Hopefully you clicked the link and downloaded it, printed it, read it.
went through it and see where America stands. It's a Gallup poll. If you are a partner, you can go back, or anybody, I think, I don't know, go back through the archive of our alerts, or not alerts, of our newsletters and find it. If you don't get our newsletter, it doesn't cost anything, folks. You just got to put your email address in when you go to the website. It's not a solicit. I don't solicit anything on the newsletter. There's not, they don't come out four times a day. They come out once a week at the close of the market on Friday. The Gallup poll indicates that 4 out of 10 Americans are brave, embrace some sort of socialism. 40% of Americans say socialism would be a good thing for the country. I think it's amazing that it's 43%, to be honest with you. 51% believe it would be a bad thing for the country. America's split on viewing the economy as a free market over government control. Does anybody ever look at anything that the government has control over? Amtrak has made money 1 year in the last 30. The post office, I don't blame the post office, but government control, post office. See, the government thought it would be a good idea just for the post office to make them pay up front a year ahead of time of all of their TSP payments. I mean, who does that? Only the government would impose that. You wonder why the post office can't make any money. There's one reason. What exactly is it that government does really well? Oh, they manage our Social Security. Oh, yeah, they've done a real good job robbing the Social Security treasure chest for the last 20 years. Congress has used that as their personal piggy bank. Medicare's about ready to fold. Medicaid about ready to fold. They can't run anything. They can't run anything. And Americans are split on whether free market economy is better than socialism, or as the question was asked, government controlled? Well, I guess that's that's an indictment on our education system. That's not an indictment on individual people. It's an indictment on the education system, because of what they're not teaching the truth. It's all about truth. They're not teaching the truth, not God's truth. Of course, they're not going to teach that. They're not teaching just the basic truth about economics, about mathematics. They can't even do that. We wonder why we have so many problems. It's amazing when you read this, government versus free market economy. When it comes to certain areas of the economy, technologically innovative, 75% say it would be the free market. So the technological innovation that we have enjoyed, they readily admit that you couldn't do it without free market. So wait a minute. Let me just take it a step further, which the survey doesn't do. But let me just take it a little bit further. So if you believe that technological innovation is 75% because of free markets, then you are okay with not having any decent technological advances by giving it over to the government. You're okay with that. So you think by going to socialism, that's not going to happen? Distribution of wealth. 68% of those surveyed said the free markets are better than doing that than the government. So, but you want to give the distribution of wealth over to the government, which the only thing they're going to distribute it to is paying for more government Because the more government they have, the more control and power they have. Do you think they're going to distribute that to you? Yeah, good luck with that. Cory Booker wants to give every baby $1,000 and do it every year for the rest of their lives, I guess. Oh, that'll get him some votes. It probably will get him some votes. It'll get an economy that's bankrupt. Of course, it's never going to happen. It's all a lie, folks. He knows. Do you think he really believes that's ever going to pass Congress? The economy overall, 62% say, well, the economy's better off with free markets. Okay. So you want to give up the rest of it. 33% say the government would be better to control it. So the other 66%, you want to get rid of that and give it over to the government? Well, that's what you would get if you have socialism. Oh, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. Well, wages are going to go up. 62% believe wages are only going to go up in a free market economy. Oh, okay. But you want to give that over to government. I see. You want socialism. Higher education would be far better off by 56% if free markets were involved. But no, you want to give that over to the government. Healthcare, 53% of the people, the majority of the people say healthcare is better in a free market economy. But no, let's give that over to the government. The only two things that were the majority for the government was protecting consumer privacy and environmental protection, both of which I would probably agree with. But is that cause to be a socialist nation? Come on, man. All right, we're going to break. We'll be back. If you've got to leave us, you have a great day. But you can find us on our phone app at Financial Issue, our website, financialissues.org. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.